Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Scuderia F1, the podcast that's always up to speed with the latest Formula One news. Follow us on Twitter at Scuderia F1 Pod and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Daly and Kevin Laramang.
Hey everybody, what is up? Welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One here on the Overtime Media Network. My name is Mark Daly, and it is Sunday night, and we're going to do tonight what we do on every Sunday on a race weekend, and that is talk about the race that was, the weekend that was. And the 2020 season is officially wrapped up in terms of the Constructors and Drivers' Championship, Lewis Hamilton winning the Turkish Grand Prix at the Intercity Istanbul Park this Sunday afternoon, and his teammate Valtteri Bottas doing his best Baryshnikov and pirouetting his way multiple times around the circuit and effectively ending his chance. Well, he didn't effectively. He completely ended the mathematical chance he had to catch Lewis Hamilton over the past or the last couple of races of the season. And well, it is what it is. And Lewis Hamilton now is equal on championships with Michael Schumacher. The British and German drivers both have 7 world titles between them. The only difference between the two of them is obviously Lewis is still an active driver. And the question is, how much longer is Lewis going to go for? And is he going to win how many more championships before he's done? And you have to think, if and when he signs his new contract with Mercedes, which just has to be a question of time now. We talked about it a couple of days ago in the weekly show that as long as he's with Mercedes and as long as Mercedes build good racing cars and engines, which they always typically seem to do, that the sky seems to be the limit. I mean, he could be the first 8, he could be the first to 10 for all we know, and it could be a lot more than that. So we'll just have to wait and see, because the future is completely in Lewis's hands. Anyways, before we get into the news and some of the quotes from the weekend itself, let's just quickly run down the top 10 finishers in the Turkish Grand Prix. Lewis Hamilton, of course, winning the race. Sergio Perez in the racing points, coming home second, about half a minute behind. Then you had Sebastian Vettel and Charles Leclerc, P3 and P4. No, that is not a mistake for P2, 3, and 4. Great drives by all four of these guys. Actually, you can even give a shout out to Carlos Sainz. I think that all the top 5 drivers drove extremely well. And the Ferraris, I think, finally showing something decent. I mean, obviously, they've had a horrible year. And Matteo Binotto said that they felt that they were making some progress with this car recently. And I think so. I mean, on a weekend when it was wet and traction was almost non-existent, there was very little grip out there on the circuit that was only just recently paved. I think they finished paving it just only about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, if I remember correctly. And the Ferrari's looking pretty good. I mean, in all fairness, Sebastian probably lucked into that one. Charles making a late lunge to try and pass Sergio Perez for P2. And well, why wouldn't you? Unfortunately, Charles couldn't make it stick and lost out on a podium, but a very good weekend for Ferrari. I would give either a Perez, Vettel, or a Charles, I think you could interchange, or Lewis as well. I mean, any one of those 4 drivers, you want to pick those for the driver of the day that they throw out there during the weekend, I think that you could give a shout out to any one of those guys, but I think you have to give the nod to Lewis. Not only did he win the race, he clinched his his 7th world championship, and he only made one pit stop and changing from full wets to inters, as did Sergio Perez. So tactics and strategy really paying off for those two guys. Anyways, like I said, Carlos Sainz in the McLaren P5. Then you had Max Verstappen in P6. Very disappointing race from Max. Here's a guy that really we look forward to watching in the wet. I mean, if you go back to Interlagos at the Brazilian Grand Prix, now what was it, 2016, 2017, at least 3-4 years ago. I mean, Max Max in that wet race was finding grip like nobody's business and passing people left, right, and center in places that you wouldn't think people would pass even under the driest and best of conditions. So Max struggling with the grip again, not just today, but all weekend long. And that was a bit disappointing that there wasn't more of a factor in this race. Anyways, his teammate Alex Albon, P7. Then you had Lando Norris in 8th, Lance Stroll in P9. Disappointing for Lance. Did very well to clinch a pole position and led the race for a large portion today and looked pretty good in doing so. But when he came in for another set of inters, just had issues and dropped way down. Well, I wouldn't say dropped, more like plummeted through the race order. And unfortunately, he couldn't get a better finish than 9th, and his run of bad luck continues. And then finally in P10, we had Daniel Ricciardo in the Renault, rounding out the point paying positions. So just now that we've gone down the race classification, let's just quickly take a look at the Drivers and Constructors Championship. Of course, this is they've been wrapped up for a long time. Realistically speaking, Mercedes clinched the double world championship win again this year, which they've done every year since 2014. So, of course, the Constructors was wrapped up a couple of weeks ago. Mercedes 504 points, which is way ahead. I mean, they've almost doubled Red Bull in points, more than doubled them, actually. I mean, Mercedes 504 points, Red Bull 240. You got Racing Point extending a little bit of a gap now above McLaren. Racing Point 154 points, McLaren 149, but you know that is still only a 5-point gap. So this is definitely one to keep an eye on down the last couple of races of the year. Renault is losing touch a little bit in this three-way battle in the constructors. They're now on 136 points. I mean, Esteban Ocon finished outside of the points, and Danny Ricciardo only scored a single point this afternoon. So they're kind of losing touch in that battle, which is well, I mean, they're not all going to stick neck and neck, but it should be fun to watch, notwithstanding, between Racing Point and McLaren over the last couple of races of the year. And then Ferrari with this very good race that they had, they've really leapt up through the constructors, and they're now only 6 points off Renault for the for P5 in the constructors, and Ferrari 130 points, so only 6 points behind Renault. So on the driver's side, of course, like I said, and we're going to talk a lot about Lewis Hamilton here, just starting in a minute. Lewis 307 points, which is way ahead of his teammate Valtteri Bottas, who sits on 197. Max Verstappen 170 points. Then you have Sergio Perez 100 points for the Mexican. He's looking pretty good there in the Drivers' Championship. It's very, very respectable. He's actually just 3 points ahead of Charles Leclerc, who is fifth in the Drivers' Championship. Then you have Danny Ricciardo, Carlos Sainz, Lando Norris, Alex Albon, and Pierre Gasly rounding out the top 10 in the Constructors' Championship. But Carlos and Lando, very, very consistent. Both of these guys, only after how many races have we run now? 15 races, whatever it is now in the championship for this season. After all these races, only separated by a single point, 75 for Sainz and 74 for Lando Norris. And you can see why McLaren is sitting where they are in the Constructors' Championship, because both of those drivers have been incredibly consistent over the course of the season thus far. Okay, well, let's talk about the man of the hour, Lewis Hamilton, doing only what Michael Schumacher has done before him, and that is clinch a 7th Formula One World Championship, and that is absolutely phenomenal stuff. And I've said it before, I think I even said it a couple of days ago on the weekly show, that after Michael Schumacher won his 7th and final World Championship, that I never really thought that I'd see that equaled again. But I suppose, as Schumacher himself said, that records are made to be broken, and Lewis has certainly had the car and the team around him to do it, and Mercedes and Hamilton have just been an unbeatable combination for so many years together now. And it really is a fantastic combination. Anyways, Lewis was saying that he let the emotions get to him towards the end of the race there, and had to keep telling himself to keep it together and just doing what he was doing, because he was really close to losing it emotionally. Anyways, after the race, Lewis had to say, quote, Very rarely do I ever lose control of my emotions. And those last few, obviously, we were having that discussion about whether we were going to pit. And I was just telling myself, keep it together, Lewis, you got this. And I could feel it getting closer, also knowing if I finish when I'm finishing right now, I've got this championship. So all these emotions were running through me and I was trying to stop it because I was thinking about my whole career from when I was five in go-karts and when we won our first British championship, driving home with my dad singing We Are the Champions and dreaming of being here. And it's right here, just minutes away, and there was a lot to take in. When I came across the line, it really hit me, and I just burst into tears. I think that whole in-lap. Then I really couldn't get out of the car because I just couldn't believe it. For me, I've been very strong, but I couldn't have done it without the great man behind me, my dad, who on the days I didn't think that I was good enough or wasn't going to do well enough, he stood me up and kept me going. I was thinking of him. I was thinking of my mom, my stepmom, Linda, my brother, who have always stood by me through thick and thin. Well, I think that's an absolutely wonderful and a very touching quote by Lewis Hamilton, you know, paying tribute to his dad for really, you know, keeping him going and really being the guy behind him and making him believe in himself. And it really is an amazing story to see where they came from with very limited resources and just the desire and the passion to go racing. Who would have thought, you know, back then that they obviously never expected themselves, but just, you know, big, you know, credit to Lewis Hamilton and his family for everything that they've achieved. And like I say, it's very touching for Lewis to you know, pay tribute to them at you know, this very special time in his life and his career, you know, keeping it real and firmly both feet on the ground. Anyways, Toto Wolff, team principal at Mercedes, says he believes that Lewis Hamilton, after equaling Schumacher's seventh world title, believes that the Briton has now cemented his position among the greats of any sports. Toto had to say, quote, I mean, he's ranked in terms of his record on Michael's level, in terms of driver world championships, and he's the absolute record holder in pole positions and race victories. Today, how can I say he has kind of cemented his position among the all-time best sports people in the world, sportsmen in the world, end quote. So there you go. I mean, I think that that is a very, you know, fair, you know, quote and thing to say. I mean, Lewis is absolutely, I mean, he is in that conversation of the greatest Formula One driver of all time. And like I said, you know, my own personal you know, feeling is that I find it very difficult to really pick one guy above any others. Because, I mean, you've got it's like Nuvolari, Fangio, you know, Michael Schumacher, Senna, Prost, you know, to take any of these great drivers that have won multiple world championships. And, I mean, they're all great drivers in their own right, but how can you really compare them, you know, head-to-head? Because you can all say that, oh, yeah, well, Lewis Hamilton has the best car now. He's got technology of the 21st century behind them. But the thing is, that even back in the 50s when Fangio was driving, he still had the best car of the time, right? And that's the thing. And that's why I find it difficult to really compare them one-on-one. I mean, they're all great drivers. They're all worthy to be in that that pantheon of you know, great Formula One drivers and world championships. And just on terms of records and things like that and victories, I mean, Lewis really does stand apart. I mean, he's taken all these records that were held by great drivers like Senna and Schumacher and the list goes on and has equaled and bettered them. So, I mean, just from that point of alone, I mean, he really, you know, he stands out a little bit more because he's done all these things and he's still an active driver. And that's the thing that really is amazing that we were just talking just a couple of days ago here that that Lewis, you know, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about how Lewis said that there's no guarantee he'll be in Formula One next year. And then he kind of went on to clarify that just in the past week that, you know, he's more focused on the job at hand, that, you know, that there's championships to win both for the drivers and the constructors. And once that business is done and behind them, that they can look at other things. And of course, the last time Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton negotiated a contract, they got it done in the end, you know, in less than a day, and they ordered pizza at the end. So it doesn't really seem like it's, you know, it's like a huge issue. And I mean, Mercedes, they have the money to pay him, and he's still, we're going to get to it in a moment. But, you know, he still has that passion for Formula One. And that really is the question that as long as Lewis wants to stay in Formula One, I mean, he can really walk away from the sport now on his own terms, at his own time, whenever he wants to. I mean, it's one thing to kind of do, you know, what Nico Rosberg did, you know, win your world championship and then walk away so quickly. I mean, it wasn't like he'd just been in the sport for a year or two. I mean, Nico had been in Formula One for a while. But you know that the toll that it exacted on him was more than he was willing to do and keep sacrificing in the way that he was done. But I mean, Lewis has kept doing this, you know, year after year after year, and of course, ever since 2014, it has been unprecedented, because the only time that Lewis hasn't won the championship was in 2016 when the aforementioned Nico Rosberg won it. But I mean, the thing is, I mean, he really has been consistent. It's one thing to have a good car, and I mean, you can look at his teammate Valtteri Bottas, and I hope we can finally put this conversation to rest, because in my mind, it has never really been a comparison to me. And this is no disrespect intended to Valtteri Bottas, who I think is a good Formula One driver, and he's obviously good enough to be a Mercedes, but he is nowhere in my mind to be a rival to Lewis Hamilton. I was going to say Michael Schumacher, but where I'm going with this is that in my mind, that Valtteri Bottas is to Lewis Hamilton what Rubens Barrichello was to Michael Schumacher, a very good driver who's going to get there. You know, he's going to be fast enough. He's going to be consistent enough. He's going to do the job for the team that the team needs to help win world championships on the constructors. He's going to win races in his own right from time to time, and we saw that in the Schumacher era in Ferrari. We saw that occasionally. Barrichello, I think that Bottas is a little bit quicker than you know, the gap between Lewis and Bottas isn't as big as Schumacher and Barrichello. I mean, we've seen from time to time that Bottas has just been quicker. Some tracks, you know, he just goes better on. I mean, you look in Australia last year, he was miles ahead of him. You look at him in Austria this year, he's miles ahead in that opening race of the year. He always goes well in Russia, so he does have his moments. But the thing is, Lewis is going to be better. He's going to win more races over the course of the season, and that's why I think that Bottas is more of like the Barrichello to Schumacher, or the Mika Hakkinen's David Coulthard kind of thing, right? I mean, there's many examples like that. Obviously, Senna Prost is kind of more like a Hamilton and a Rosberg, but a little bit different because they're already multiple world champions at that point. So sort of, but not really the same. But the thing is, you know, I mean, it really is impressive what Lewis has done, and to keep doing it. And that's why I think that we'll find out in due course. I would be surprised if they actually get the contract done now before the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of goes a little bit. You know, we get into the off season here in just over a month time, and then we hear something over the winter whenever they decide to sit down and get it done. But that goes into the next story, that Lewis says that he wants to stay in Formula One for what he says a chance to change the world. So obviously he's looking at Formula One in a completely different way, and we're going to do that or talk about that in just a little bit more detail in a moment. Because first of all, I want to talk to you guys quickly about MyBookie. Because not only do we have Formula One, we got lots of other things going on, like NFL, late fall college ball, the NBA bubble, UFC Fight Island. And because 2020 has been a year like any other year, is the exact reason why you need a sports book with offers unlike any other out there. So get some skin in the game with MyBookie, where odds boost, lightning deals, and free bets await all season long. And with Turkey Day right around the corner, there really is no better time to feast on some NFL action. So whether you're a first-time customer or have been playing with MyBookie for years, there's no shortage of value to be found in the thousands of game lines, unique prop bets, and contests that they offer every week. So sign up or get reloaded today, find an edge, make your bet, and get paid. MyBookie also boasts a fully-fledged casino platform, giving you access to all the classic table, slot, and card games you'd expect to find at your local spot. And the best part is, at MyBookie, the doors never close, so you continue to build your bankroll even after the stadium lights have gone out. So make the right play and sign up today at MyBookie. And when you do, use my special promo code OVERTIME to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. The terms are simple. You put in $200, they'll match you with another $100 in your account. If you're already planning to bet this season, this is free betting money. It's winning season at MyBookie, so come join in on all the fun and win some cash while you're at it. And once again, use my special promo code OVERTIME to get your deposit matched halfway, all the way up to $1,000. All right. Well, welcome back to the show. So yeah, just before the break, we were going to talk about Lewis Hamilton and his future. So, I mean, of course, like a couple of weeks ago, he said there was going to be no guarantee he was going to stay in Formula One next year, what with his contract situation up at the end of the year, and the fact that there have been no talks held between Hamilton and Mercedes. But that stance has been, I wouldn't say softened, because it's not like he's really taken a hard stance that it was just one comment that there was no guarantee that he was going to be there. This past week, he elaborated on that a bit more, saying that he was more focused on helping win the championships, both for the constructors and the drivers, and they'll sit down and get it done. And like I said a little bit earlier, they got it done very quickly the last time they sat down to get a deal done. Anyways, now Lewis, he's saying a little bit more, I guess, now that the focus can shift away from what he's doing on the track, and the fact that the last couple of races of the year don't mean anything in terms of the championships, and you know, there's just races to go out there and try and win for whoever, right? I mean, I don't think that Lewis is going to ease off by any rate. I mean, he might try and help his teammate win one or two of these races should the situation come up. I wouldn't be surprised at that at all if there's an opportunity to help Valtteri Bottas win a race. Anyways, Lewis has been talking about how he'd like to stick with Formula One because of their anti-racism and sustainability campaigns are the biggest reason why he wants to stick around in the sport. So he talked a little bit more about his future after the Turkish Grand Prix, and Lewis had to say, quote, "I feel like I'm only just getting started. It is really weird. I physically feel in great shape, and mentally, 2020 has been a challenge, but I didn't know how to get through. But with the help of great people around me, through the help of my team, through the help of Team LH, I managed just to keep my head above water and stay focused. So I'm really hopeful for a better year next year. I would love to stay. I feel like we've got a lot of work to do here. You know that we've only just begun. I want to push ourselves to hold ourselves accountable as a sport, to realize that we've got to face and not to ignore the human rights issues that around the countries that we go to. It's how can we engage with those countries and help them and empower them to do more and really change, not just 10 years from now, not 20 years from now, but now. I want to help F1. I want to help Mercedes in that journey. And also particularly moving to more sustainable, you know, as a sport, the whole thing of when we need to be more sustainable. I want to try and see if I can be a part of that, at least the initial phase of that, for a little bit longer," end quote. So there you go. Lewis really hinting at things. And, you know, if you've got that platform and you think you can make a difference, then why not? I mean, he hit on a couple of very important things. I mean, I had a lot of people message me or email me over the past week or so, ever since there was the announcement was made that they're going to race in Saudi Arabia next year. There's going to be a night race in Jeddah. I had a lot of people say, you know, I love Formula One. I'm not going to watch that race because I have issues with Formula One going to a race in a country that that has such a bad human rights record like Saudi Arabia does. And, you know, I mean, like Lewis says, I mean, he makes reference to countries. So, I mean, that have issues with human rights. So, sadly, it is not, you know, a unique situation. But I was, you know, honestly, I was quite surprised that, I mean, I get quite a few messages and tweets and emails all the time. But the volume of people that that reached out, that listened to the show, that said that they won't watch that race specifically because of that, really, you know, took me aback. I was really quite surprised about that. And Lewis, of course, has been very vocal about the whole Black Lives Matter issue. I mean, he wore the t-shirt, you know, remembering Breonna Taylor, and he got into some trouble about that, or potentially. I mean, it was a bit of a talking point. I mean, he's had the backing of his team, and you know, if you can help enact positive social change from the platform that you're in, I think it's a good thing. And also the sustainability thing, I think, is important as well. I mean, they've been talking just recently about the new engines going into 2026 when the current formula expires, and they come in with new engines. And, you know, they're still talking about the hybrid model is the way to go. So I think that's a good way to go. And also, I think, you know, more sustainability when it comes to fuels. And also, it was interesting, too, because we were talking about it just a couple of days ago as well, what with the Brazilian Grand Prix, supposedly getting pretty close to re-upping and signing a new deal to keep the Brazilian Grand Prix at Interlagos in Sao Paulo for at least another 5 years until 2025. And I had a message from a listener, Antonio Euclides Holanda. I hope I said that right. If not, I apologize. Anyways, Antonio had to say, on Brazil's circuit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazilian specialized media says this track project is all but doomed. It would take to cut down an entire forest, and there would be no technical support of it. And then he also followed up that tweet saying that he couldn't confirm at the moment that it has been signed, but the Brazilian media is saying that that is looking pretty solid, that it's going to be a 5-year extension with another 5 years option on top of that. So it could be at least, another decade at Interlagos. And, honestly, there's a lot of issues about environmental impacts and things like that. And my 9-to-5 job, I work in land development. I have a lot of clients that, build subdivisions and, apartment buildings and things like that. And the amount of environmental things, hoops that they have to jump through, to even build a small subdivision of a couple to several houses. I mean, it's significant. And I don't think that regardless if it's here in Canada or around the world, I don't think that that Formula One should be exempt from that. And I don't think that they would. I'm not suggesting that they're going to go out there and really push to recklessly clear cut an entire forest. But I mean, I'm all for new races and new locations and new venues, but it has to be done responsibly. And it sounds like this new purpose-built track in Rio de Janeiro sounds like that it just has a lot of challenges that sound like it's just not going to happen the way that it's proposed. Certainly, if there are environmental issues about that. So, thank you for the messages, Antonio. Really appreciate that. And so, let's keep moving along. There's so much to talk about. Again, we would talk about Lewis Hamilton, but his, his teammate, Valtteri Bottas, I mean, he had an absolutely terrible day in Istanbul. I mean, he spun six times. He called his own race in Turkey a disaster, and he damaged the car on the opening lap. And that's just the thing. I mean, I think that the difference between Valtteri Bottas and Lewis Hamilton was really illustrated well in this, in this race. I mean, okay, Bottas maybe damaged his car on that opening lap when he spun out in the first corner, but same car, same track, same conditions. You look at where Bottas finished. It was miles different between Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas. I mean, it really was. I don't think it'd been ever more apparent than it was in Turkey this afternoon. I mean, it really was quite shocking where it was. I mean, Valtteri Bottas, by the time it was all said and done, he was a lap down in P14, and what do you really have to say to that? I mean, I feel sorry for Valtteri Bottas, but just a terrible, terrible day out there. Anyways, Bottas said about his race, quote, "I had the spin in the first corner. I was avoiding one of the Renault spins. Then I had the collision in turn 9 on the first lap. The car was not right. I could feel that the steering wheel was going to the left on a straight line. And then in the left corners, the car was behaving differently and sliding. All the moments I had, it's not like how it should be. It was a messy race. A disastrous race. Obviously, I was trying to push as hard as I could because there was nothing to lose for me today. When I dropped back, I was pushing as hard as I could, made mistakes, and for sure with the damage as well, made it tricky. It could have been the most difficult race I've had in Formula One so far, and also the result," end quote. So, Bottas, I always think that he's fairly forthcoming, and I think he's being quite forthright and open, owning all the issues and problems that he had over the course of the race. I mean, but like I say, I mean, never was the difference between Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas as illustrated as it was at the Turkish Grand Prix. Now, talking about the man that was on pole, Lance Stroll ended up P9. He He says he can't understand why he had tire greening issues later in the race, which saw him plummet through the race order. And I really feel bad for Lance because, I mean, both those Racing Point cars were going very good. I mean, they were better in the wet there for most of the race than the Works Mercedes cars. And of course, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion all year long about how the RP20 is just a knockoff of last year's Mercedes W10. And it really, they looked really good out there. I mean, they both qualified well. I mean, it's been tricky. I mean, it was a nasty, nasty situation that we had weather-wise and the track conditions there. It was just, it was a difficult race and a weekend, that is, for every driver in it. But Racing Point really stood out for me, and I'm sure a lot of you too. Just the way that that they, you know, not only how they how well they did in qualifying, but also in the race. And it was very disappointing for Lance because, I mean, he was on track to win his first Formula One race, and then that that second pit stop he had was just disastrous. He came in with only about 20 laps to go, 22 actually, when I look at my notes here. He went on to fresh intermediates. I mean, he said at one point, if you remember on the race radio, they said they were going to bring him in, put him on, give him a fresh set of inters. And then Lance said that he didn't like that. He wanted to go to the slicks. Nobody, as far as I could tell, actually did go to slick tires, you know, throughout the course of the race. I mean, it looked like the racing line was drying out there, but it still, it was just very, very slippery. And they're just slicks would have been, you know, the wrong choice. Anyways, like I say, Lance was brought in, 22 laps left in the race. He put on a fresh set of intermediates, and they started to grain almost immediately, and Lance just started falling back through the running order, and he was passed by Vettel, Leclerc, Sainz, Verstappen, Albon, and then Lando Norris. And then by the time it was all said and done, he was over a minute behind Lewis Hamilton. Anyways, Lance had to say, quote, "I don't know what happened. I don't understand. We had so much graining on the first set of intermediates. We decided to pit. We were losing seconds a lap. I just don't know where that graining came from. It just happened instantly. It grained again. Massive graining and no pace. We'll have to look into it. It was pretty terrible today," end quote. So, yeah, I mean, if you don't have the answers, you can't really do anything but go back and take a look and see exactly you know, what the issue was. But, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about Lance Stroll over the years. I mean, obviously his dad, Lawrence, very, very wealthy businessman. And I think it's a fair conversation to have that Lance is in Formula One because of the opportunities that his father's wealth and his connections have helped him, you know, give him a boost in his racing career. But I don't think it's a fair comparison or judgment to make to say that Lance is solely in Formula One or motor racing because his dad has a lot of money. I mean, he would have made it in Formula One just because, you know, his dad has a lot of money. Even if when he started his career with Williams, a team obviously hurting for, you know, for money, they don't have a huge bankroll and all that. If he didn't have some talent, wasn't able to drive that car, he wouldn't have got in that you know, into that team, no matter how much money his dad had. So, you know, I mean, he has had a podium before. I mean, we've seen some positive things from Lance Stroll over the years. I mean, of course, breaking into Formula One with Williams and a team that clearly had lost its way at that point. They're still trying to claw their way back to respectability. They've only just got new owners in there. And that's going to take some time to get that ship turned around and heading in the right direction. I mean, they really fell into the abyss very, very, you know, quickly and suddenly in Formula One a couple of years ago after, you know, after 2016. I mean, the way that they dropped off, I mean, they were up there sort of your Racing Point, McLaren, Renault kind of positioning in the World Championship. And then they, you know, promptly dropped off to the bottom of the field. And that's a completely different discussion. Then he moves over to Racing Point, and then he's in a car that was designed for somebody else. And then this year, I mean, he's had his moments despite all the struggles that he's had. I mean, he has had some good outings in the car. And this weekend, it finally looked like things were going his way. And then he has that that graining issues that he had with the intermediate tires during the race and really spoiled it for for it. So unfortunately, his run of bad luck hasn't been able to put behind him. But Racing Point team principal Otmar Szafnauer had to say after qualifying on Saturday, specifically about Lance claiming pole, Szafnauer had to say the following, quote, "It's great, well-deserved. You can say he's been unlucky in the middle part of the year. But I don't think it was a luck. I think it was well-judged, really. He came in and said straight away towards the end of Q3, it's going to be intermediates. I mean, he said it right at the beginning of Q3. He said it's not quite there yet, but it will be at the end. He came in and put the intermediates on, and he was absolutely right, and he got the tire to work and deserved pole position. Both of them did a fantastic job, absolutely. The conditions were the trickiest I've seen. A freshly resurfaced track that's pretty slick without even water on it, and then add the water and low temperatures as well, and it was like driving on ice, and they both did a great job. I mean, they're both very composed. Lance was especially very calm. He communicated very well with the pit wall and told us what the conditions were like. Really good," end quote. So there you go. I mean, I think you can make some of the arguments that you want, but Lance, he had some talent, and disappointing the way that it turned out for him this weekend, definitely. But as Otmar Szafnauer had to say, that even if we didn't see the dampness and the rain that we saw, just the fact that the track had recently been resurfaced in the past couple of weeks is when they finished, that it was going to be tricky just with just the surface itself and just how greasy it was and the low temperatures, but it really was a perfect storm of all these bad things. Anyway, so just talking about Racing Point, Checo Perez, Lance's teammate, said that his tires would have exploded had he had to do one more lap in the race, and he really was struggling right towards the end. Anyways, Sergio to say after the race, quote, "I told my team on the radio, I think one more lap on those tires and they would have exploded. The vibrations were extremely bad towards the end, but I think it also made that race looking after them in the beginning and towards the end with the drying conditions. The team did a fantastic job in terms of strategy reading the race. I think Lewis today was extremely strong, and towards the end we died, but we managed to get a good result," end quote. So there you go. Anyways, time for another break here on the Overtime Media Network. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, well, welcome back to the show, and Max Verstappen. Yes, remember Max? Well, we should have been talking about him in a lot more positive light after this race. Unfortunately, it just really didn't, it didn't go well for Max. I mean, he struggled with a grip throughout the weekend, and what with the wet conditioned, well, I mean, he did very well. I mean, he qualified in second place, split the racing points. I mean, it looked at one point that we were going to see a front row lockout for Racing Point, which I don't think any of us would have, you know, called even a couple of days ago. I mean, the fact that the conditions were the way that they were, I was fully expecting that because it had been nearly a decade since we'd raced in Turkey, that we would see the lap times get smashed and broken rather easily with you know, a decade of progress in engineering and design in Formula One behind us. But it just wasn't the case. I mean, they really struggled. And I mean, it was almost comical to watch during qualifying just how slow the cars were at one point. You know, they just looking that when they broke the 2 minute barrier, and I think the lap record, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it was about a 1:29 or a 1:27. So the fact that during qualifying that that they were putting in about a 2 minute lap in qualifying trim nonetheless was really quite astounding. But anyway, so Max was able to stick one good lap there and got onto the front row of the grid. But it was amazing. Once the lights turned green, I mean, he just could not get off of the line. I don't know if he missed a gear. He wasn't able to shift. He just didn't have any grip. But it was almost like he was in sort of suspended animation. It was just the way that he went from second, and just everybody was passing him was absolutely amazing. But he got really close to Sergio Perez at one point there, and he was very, very close. And it just I couldn't help but think when it was happening that you know, considering the conditions and the fact that he was really tucked up underneath the gearbox of Sergio Perez, I just had the feeling that it wasn't going to end well for one of them. Anyways, Max had just gone on to the inters, and of course you know, he couldn't hold it, spun out, did a couple of 360s, and then immediately went back into the pits because he flat spotted it, and he just he really struggled. I mean, it was not the kind of race that we really expected to see from Max Verstappen, because he really is, I think, the best driver in the wet in Formula One. I mean, you know, even Lewis Hamilton, I mean, credit to Lewis, not only for winning the race, but driving a smart race, keeping his nose clean, and avoiding any damage compared to his teammate, Valtteri Bottas. But I mean, the thing is that, you know, kind of head to head, I mean, Max really is better than basically everybody else out there in wet conditions. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, just how good Max was in that Brazilian Grand Prix a couple of years ago. What was it, 2016 or 2017? I mean, he was able to pass guys in the wet and find grip on the track on that day that you normally wouldn't even see on a dry circuit. Really was, you know, astounding. That kind of really kind of made everybody sit up and take notice of Max, because not only are the great drivers good, but great drivers also really, really good in the wet conditions. I mean, go back to Schumacher or Senna. I mean, both of them fantastic drivers in their own right and legends in their own right, but they were also, just like Max, brilliant in the rain as well. Anyways, Max had to say after the race, he actually tweeted it out and said, quote, "We had a very difficult race in these tricky conditions, and we struggled from the start to the end. It's a race to forget, to be honest," end quote. Anyways, Max was talking after the race just about the frustration that he had when he was out there driving during the race, and he had the following to say, quote, "It was just very frustrating, to be honest. I tried to follow Checo through that kink, and suddenly I just massively washed out, and you get onto that green bit. It was a big spin. I tried to keep out of the wall, of course, and then just flat spotted the tires. After that, you can quickly catch up with the guys, but you can't pass, as it is just one lap around here, and already that line is very slippery, so it is super frustrating. We just had to wait for people to pit or whatever. Just following, no grip, just trying to survive, so definitely not a great day, but hopefully we will never be in the situation again that it is so slippery, end quote. So, yeah, you know, it certainly is. I can understand why, you know, he was so frustrated about that. But it was tricky conditions. I mean, certainly you can see why, you know, it wasn't, you know, the result that, that he wanted. But, I mean, Max is, you know, he certainly is the guy you'd expect that would do better. Anyways, he also did escape a penalty for the crossing over the white line at the end of the pit lane. I mean, he was under investigation for that. Then it was announced by the race stewards that they would take a look at it, investigate it after the race. They did release a statement afterwards saying, quote, having reviewed video evidence from a wide variety of camera and angles at the highest resolutions available, the stewards are unable to find conclusive evidence that demonstrates beyond a reasonable doubt that any part of car 33 crossed completely over the white line separating the pit exit from the track. So there you go. So anyways, Max would have been penalized for that. And if he had, say, a 5-second penalty, he would have been ended up buying his teammate, Alex Albon, who was only a second and a half behind him in P6 at the end of the race. So there you go. like I say, it was definitely one for him to forget. Anyways, just kind of go building off of what Lance Stroll had to say a little bit earlier, just or talking about Lance, how he wanted to go on to slicks. Sebastian Vettel actually believes had Ferrari switched onto slick tires that they could have actually had a shot to win the Turkish Grand Prix. And like I said, P3 and P4 for Charles and Sebastian, or sorry, I should say Sebastian and Charles, P3 and P4. You know, a great result for them. I mean, they should be very, very pleased with that. And you know, Seb actually said that they were very happy with the, or he was very happy with the podium, even though he kind of played into his hands nicely because of that mistake his teammate made right at the end there. Anyways, Seb had to say, quote, it was quite intense, quite long, but good fun. I had a really good opening lap, and I think I found myself already in P4. I was quite happy on the extreme wet tires. Then we switched to inters. It was a bit more difficult in the beginning, and only towards the end we started to find the pace again. It was very intense in the last lap, a bit of a surprise to snatch the podium at the end, but certainly very happy. I think it was really an enjoyable race and the very tricky conditions. End quote. So there you go. I mean, very, very interesting that, you know, he actually seemed like, you know, compared to like the quotes that we've heard from guys like Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez, Seb actually feeling that, you know, he actually sounds like he was enjoying it out there despite the tricky conditions. Anyways, Vettel did go on just talking about how he thought switching to the dry tires could have actually given Ferrari a good shot to win the race, but he ultimately did concede and said he understood why the team decided to keep himself and Charles on the intermediates. Anyways, Seb had elaborated on that a little bit more by saying, quote, with 20 laps to go, I was thinking about the dries because the circuit was constantly drying and the tires were worn, so ultimately we had slicks. It was just a matter of nobody dared to put them on, and there was some rain forecast in the end which didn't come. I really would have liked to put them on because I think it would have been a chance to win, but yeah, equally happy with third, end quote. So there you go. Interesting. I mean, we did see some pictures after some of the tire stops that we saw that one of these tires went into the garage. I can't remember if they were Red Bulls now or if they were which team it was, but some of the tires came out off. I mean, the treads on those inters were completely worn down to nothing. So like Vettel said, that they were effectively drying out there on slick tires. But that is the thing. I mean, usually what happens in those conditions is somebody you know, has the courage to go and switch on to slick tires before anyone else. And they're always such a good benchmark to see how the car does in those conditions. But today it didn't happen, even though we heard a couple of drivers on race radio saying that they wanted to go in and switch over. Nobody actually did that. But of course, we did hear as well on the radios for a couple of the drivers that they were expecting quite a heavy downpour in the last lap or two laps of the race, which it actually didn't actually come to pass. But still, you could understand that even under those circumstances that had somebody wanted to switch late in the race, that there was hesitancy on the pit wall to do that. So finally, last story of the night, the Turkish Grand Prix weekend, according to George Russell, is not what Formula One is about. So obviously, there was a couple of things going on there: the cold temperatures, the greasy track because of the recent repaving, also the rain, and also the fact that there were other other support races or a lack thereof running on the track before, or other series just they're racing there as well. There's left very little rubber and very little grip on the track, but Russell, who ended up finishing 16th, was very frustrated by the lap times, depending on the tire temperature he had, and the huge differences when the tires were in the zone and when they weren't. Said it just did not make for an enjoyable race. Anyways, George had to say, quote, "The lap time varies by 2 to 3 seconds a lap if you get the tires working or not. It's unbelievable. This weekend has not really been what Formula One is about. I'm sure the show looked great, and I'm sure I would have loved watching it from my sofa at home. It's just been a lottery for everybody out there. I love driving in wet conditions, but this was just something else. I think everybody was so excited to come here, and from the very first lap in FP1, we just had absolutely no grip. The biggest factor, without a shadow of the doubt, was the new resurfacing. From what I hear and understand, it was all to be done at the very last minute, and the Turkish corporation or whoever ran the race did a really good job to get everything done in time, and they were delayed by some really poor weather. It was like driving on sheet ice, and actually the times I went off the track onto the old concrete, I had much more grip than I did, and on the concrete apron in the pit lane, which is normally incredibly slippery compared to the track, and a hell of a lot more grip than the actual racetrack. I don't think a single driver enjoyed these conditions," end quote. Well, I think that depends. I think we just heard from Sebastian Vettel that despite the conditions, I think Seb was maybe a little bit in the minority, that he seemed to be enjoying it. The sentiments expressed by Russell, I mean, we've heard that from a number of guys, including Valtteri Bottas and Max Verstappen, but yeah, whether that's not what Formula One is about, I can understand the frustration, definitely, because the combination of the late resurfacing done on the track, and the fact that it was oily and it was wet and it was cold, and just the big fluctuations in the lap times because just the difficulty keeping the heat in the tires and all that. But whether or not that's not what Formula One is about, I don't know if I would go that far, because Formula One, I think you just have to go out there, and the best driver and the conditions on the day in question, deserves to win the race. And often we see the races run in very good conditions for the time of year, wherever they are. And we're always going to get a handful of wet races each and every year, and it adds an element of unpredictability into the proceedings. And of course, that's always going to happen. Anyways, I don't fully agree with what George Russell said, but I mean, he did explain a little bit further, saying that had he been at home and watching the Grand Prix from the comfort of his own living room on his own sofa, that it probably would have been quite different, to watch it, enjoy it as a fan, than being in the car. So I think he's seen it from both sides. I mean, certainly I think he realizes what basically everybody who was watching it, came to the same conclusion, that it was an enjoyable race, but very, very difficult and tricky situations and conditions for all the drivers. Anyways, just before we go, I just want to read one more tweet from at Tarabino on Twitter, and he had to say, "Looking forward to your thoughts on Turkey. Amazing weekends from Racing Point and Ferrari, irregardless of Stroll's luck or lack thereof. Hamilton is the GOAT, though." And there you go. I think that is a great way to kind of sum it up, in 140 characters or less, or whatever you get on Twitter nowadays. And absolutely, I mean, great weekends from Racing Point and Ferrari, regardless of poor old Lance Stroll's luck with the graining. And Hamilton is the GOAT. Yeah, no argument there. Nicely summed up. Anyways, thank you all very much for downloading and listening to the show. We'll be back in a couple of days with the weekly program, just to go over whatever comes up in the next couple of days. And certainly there should be no shortage of good things to talk about. And until then, I thank you once again for downloading and listening to the show. If you want to get in touch, best way is on Twitter at ScuderiaF1Pod, or via email at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com. And that's it. That's a wrap. I'm out of here. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Ciao.
Thank
Thanks for listening to the Scuderia F1 podcast.
If you want to get the show notes for this episode, then head over to ScuderiaF1Pod.com.
Want to get in touch with us? Then email us at ScuderiaF1Pod@gmail.com.